into this building. You brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today. That when you leave here, won't be the same. So you tell me you've been to your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind, oh, your body and oh, your soul. Yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah. He can mend a broken
head. Your brokenness.
About the situation.
Greetings. Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program, for the recording date of Sunday, January the 26th, 2014. I am the Christian ambassador, servant of and for the Rastafari community for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God, queendom of Goddess in heaven, right here, right now on this earth, kingdom and queendom of Islam, the way to the waters of noon, the way to oneness, the way to peace and tranquility through obeying the dictates of the Most High. Waters of noon, oneness, permeating with oneness and life. Look here, sisters and brothers. I found it. January the 24th, 2014, Democracy Now! The film is called We Come As Friends, directed by Hubert Sauper. Amy Goodman was in the Utah Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. This film depicts American investors, Chinese oil men, United Nations officials, and Christian missionaries, all of them working at various levels together to ensure that the masses of African people have no power over their lives and over their land, wealth, and resources. So Jesus Yahushua, chapter 6, verse 20, is talking to the disciples and talking to the poor and says, yours is the kingdom. The word kingdom in the Greek language is a feminine word. Let me me see if I can hit that word right quickly. The word is basileia. Let me see if I can hit the pronunciation.
Strong's G, 932, basileia. Basileia.
Basileia, 932, Greek side. This word is a feminine noun. Why is it feminine? Because Yahushua is an African Hebrew coming from Africa, Kemet, Africa, Ethiopia. Our throne symbolized the sacred feminine, the mother, the sacred feminine power in the universe. The mother, the sacred feminine, symbolizes truth, justice, righteousness, called Ma'at in Kemet. The throne, the seat, represents truth, justice, righteousness, balance, reciprocity, equal rights, and justice. That ruler must be a ruler that understands and loves the power of the sacred feminine, the power of the mother. Through loving the sacred feminine, that ruler, whether male or female, will produce a society that is conducive to motherhood and fatherhood, and conducive to the righteous, powerful upbringing of children who will be gods and goddesses on this earth. So Yahushua is telling the poor working class masses of the people, you have the power to rule. You have the power within yourself. You are Christ in human flesh. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God that's in heaven is within you, within your soul. Look within yourself. Come together. Think together. Organize together. Transfer thoughts and ideas. Analyze the system together. Pool our resources spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically, and realize that we have the power of the Most High within ourselves. No longer give our power over to the elites. No longer give our power over to the wicked ruling class and the wicked ruling families. They are illegitimate. You, the masses, have the power to come together and rule your destiny under the guidance of the Most High. You, poor working class masses of the people, have the power, have the authority, have the right to rule this earth in fulfillment of Psalm Division 8, which teaches us that mankind is made lower than the angels and given power to rule creation. Hebrews picks it up, says Christ made lower than the angels but given power to rule this creation. I must conclude that mankind is Christ in human flesh. Male and female are Christ in human flesh. Christ, the glory of God, Hebrews says. Mankind, the glory of God, Hebrews says. Christ is mankind before the fall. So through understanding that we are Christ in human flesh, we begin to ascend back into our position that we were created originally as gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. So he says further, in verse 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Yahushua is trying to tell us that if we come together, organize together, we have the power to change our condition. We that have nothing, spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically, we who have been robbed of everything, the day is coming and will come quicker if we come together, organized together. The day is coming that this system will be done away with and everything access to the wealth and the resources. Deuteronomy and Leviticus, those Old Testament books talk about that there should be no poverty in Israel. No poverty, no want, none shall suffer lack. The earth is Israel, not some little piece of land. The whole earth is Israel, and we should have no poverty anywhere on the planet. This is what Yahushua is talking about. So we who weep now, we who cry, we who moan because of suffering economic warfare, suffering from purposeful destruction of living wage jobs, we who have been robbed of home, disenfranchised, pushed out into the streets, we who have lost loved ones because of quote-unquote gang warfare, and every gang all the way down to the drug cartels raised up and created by the house of Rothschild and those wicked powers who finance and arm all cartels. We who have suffered from losing loved ones in senseless violence at malls and schools and college campuses, people acting out mental and spiritual and moral disease because of the system. And the disease that is existential within this system that infects each and every one of us, so we must work hard. We must pray. We must remain vigilant over our soul, over our mind, over our consciousness, so that we do not inflict hurt, harm, and damage on each other. We who have suffered because of warfare in Africa, in Asia, in Central and South America, Mexico, Isles of the Pacific, Caribbean, warfare and bloodshed, all of them, fictitious narrative, lies on leaders, lies on this one and that one to justify wars planned 10, 20, 25, 30 years in advance. Look at all of the conflict. Look at what's going on in Syria. They call themselves having some type of peace meeting in Syria. They called together representatives from Syria, but they didn't want Assad personally. They called together representatives from, I believe, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Australia, all manner of people, representatives from peoples and nations, some of them having nothing to do, one might think, with the conflict in Syria. You also had Al-Qaeda representatives there, Al-Nusra representatives there, other representatives who represent, in reality, the forces in America, Israel, Britain, Europe, that are, in reality, trying to overthrow a government that they do not like so they can control land, wealth, resources, oil pipelines, control where oil goes, where it comes from, who gets it, who does not get it. United Nations leader Ban Ki-moon at first would not invite Iran because America elites dislike Iran. British, Israeli elites dislike Iran. But Ban Ki-moon for a few seconds said, you know what? Come on to the peace meeting, Iran representatives. And then at the last minute, because of pressure from America, Britain, and Israel, Ban Ki-moon rescinded the invite, disinvited Iran. United Nations, you're supposed to bring nations together. You're supposed to bring people together at the table of peace so we can work out our differences. Ban Ki-moon, why do you continue to bend over backwards and do the bidding of the wicked ruling class and families and keep division and keep strife and keep enmity and animosity going amongst peoples, amongst nations? Kerry, Secretary of State Kerry, talking all type of crazy words about how Assad must go and no negotiations with Assad, and Assad is the terrorist, and Syria is the terrorist. Let's try to say this very quickly. Assad is not perfect, but we said some time ago that Assad reconstituted his constitution and began to give rights, rights that should have already been given, rights that you can't give, rights that are yours because you're on this planet. But nevertheless, give rights to women, give rights to the poor and the oppressed, make life better for the sisters and brothers in Syria. All the while fighting against who? Assad was attacked by Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, the same thing that went down in Libya. Al-Qaeda forces raised up by America, Britain, Israel, kill, overthrow, and kill Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. Kill by the numbers, black people, African people, as if they're not a part of Libya, which Libya is a part of Africa. Black folks suffering night and day in Libya, and now the oil, the land, the wealth, the resources in the hands of these same demons. These same demons in Syria working the same type of plan. So what we're saying is that all of this suffering, all of this weeping, all of this crying because of the brutality of the system. Yahushua says, you won't cry forever. The day is coming. Then it was Rome. Rome was about to be destroyed within years. Rome was about to fall within years. Yahushua is telling the masses, you don't have to worry about Rome forever. What you need to worry about is coming together, poor working class people. Forgetting your differences, poor working class people. Organize together, work together, and you weeping now. But your condition will change when we change our condition, and then we will laugh. And we will be happy. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So he's talking to us who understand this work and understand this mission. And understand that we sometimes will suffer when we stand up and speak the truth about the government, when we stand up and speak the truth about our condition as poor working class masses of people. Those who may not understand will hate us and will detest us and will separate from us. Maybe we had friends in the entertainment world. Maybe we had friends in government. Maybe we had friends in church, mosque, cathedral, synagogue, temple. But now we're standing up for revolution, standing up for truth, justice, and righteousness. Now we're standing up and saying, is capitalism as it's being practiced the best system for the masses of the people, or should we look to a communist socialist type of system that empowers the people and gives the people equal access to living wage job, to health care, to education, to land, wealth, and resources? These type of systems are African systems that originated in Africa, some African systems. And I'm thinking of my book, Integration Trap, Generation Gap by Oba Tshaka. I'm going to take my time with this. We're just going to do what we have to do with this broadcast. What we don't cover, we don't cover. We cover next time. But what we do cover right now, the Most High is moving in this broadcast. You see, Africa is the root of civilization. Africa is the root of all science, religious science, spiritual science, medicine, healing, botany, all of your scientific disciplines, political thought, ideologies. Africans had societies in which there were kings and queens, but these kings and queens were priests and priestesses who were charged with being the intermediary between the Most High and the people and providing a society, a nation, in which all could thrive and did thrive. No jails, no institutions for mentally ill people. Everybody healthy, nobody stealing because of community and love for society and love for a human being. In Africa, the king could not violate the woman. That was law. Couldn't happen, didn't happen, wouldn't happen, because the king loved the people. In some African societies, there were no kings and queens, but the elders, male and female, were they who were out front ruling or being the intermediary between the Most High and the people. And these societies held up the value of the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine, and understood that sacred masculine and sacred feminine must come together, unite together, to produce truth, justice, and righteousness. Now, today, you look back on those type of societies and you say, wow, that was communism or that was socialism. So, when we stand up and speak these type of truths and begin to examine the system and begin to ask questions and ask questions concerning the prevailing system of the day, and ask, remember when Yahushua was in the temple, he was drilling the high priests. He was drilling the religious leaders. He was questioning them. He was giving them queries. He was going into their minds. He wanted to know and see, did they really uphold the laws of the Most High? The laws of the Most High say that usury and interest are illegal. Debt is illegal. Exploitation is illegal. Your sister and your brother is in slavery. You get them out of slavery. If they have to sell their labor to you for free, you call that a slave. Because of hard times, after 6 years, you free them and you give them liberally of your land, wealth, vineyards, resources, so that they never fall into such condition again. When you stand up and talk like that, you begin to make enemies in government. You begin to make enemies in leadership. Sometimes your own poor working class sister and brother don't understand and begin to manifest hatred towards you. This is what Yahushua is talking about. He says they'll separate you from your company, from their company. They'll put boundaries up. They'll put limitations up. They'll make a determination and a declaration that you should not be one that people would want to congregate with, because you're standing up for freedom, justice, and equality. Yet thinking about Dr. King, did not Dr. King suffer such circumstances when the man became a real internationalist and began to stand up against warfare and bloodshed and call America out concerning the war in Vietnam, and began to talk about colonialism, slavery, and exploitation internationally? And Dr. King began to say that there is a worldwide revolution going on, and you and I must help. You and I must participate in this worldwide revolution. Dr. King began to examine communism, examine socialism, examine capitalism. He began to talk about how communism forgets that the people are individual, and capitalism forgets that the people are social. So Dr. King said the answer is not the thesis of capitalism or the antithesis of communism, but a higher synthesis of both of them. He's talking about what you might call a social capitalism, a communist capitalism. Are we going to have a system where we don't produce anything? No. But are we going to have a system where we produce with respect to the land, with respect to the earth, with respect to the ecology, respect to the universe, and produce commodities and whatnot with respect to the human being? No human being should suffer warfare and bloodshed and death and hell and destruction so that some can have ownership and control of land, wealth, and resources. No. So Dr. King, he starts talking like this. He starts saying that America must be born again. He starts asking who owns the oil? Who owns the ore? Why is it that we pay water bills and the whole earth is 3/4 water? Dr. King is starting to talk publicly, openly about how the wicked ruling class and wicked ruling families are in control of the land, wealth, and resources, and they are the ones causing the warfare, the bloodshed, the death, the hell, the destruction, the division amongst poor working class people. They are giving us the hatreds that we feed upon, the animosities, the enmities that we feed upon, the divisions keeping us divided along political, religious lines, ideologies, ethnic, racial, class, all of these divisions. So the people began, lots of people began to turn their backs on Dr. King. Lots of preachers who allowed Dr. King to preach when Dr. King was only talking about Negro affairs within the borders of the United States of North America, the same preachers that allowed Dr. King to preach in their churches, some of them, many of them, too many of them, most of them began to close their doors. Many of his own comrades in the NAACP began to turn their backs on him. Many of his comrades in his own Southern Christian Leadership Conference began to turn their backs on Dr. King, began to hate Dr. King, separate from Dr. King. The government officials, presidents, and others in government who talked wonderful words about Dr. King began to separate from Dr. King and tell us to separate from him, began to throw up boundaries and borders and isolate Dr. King from the company of people. Newspapers and magazines, I think New York Times, one of them, who used to say all manner of good, glowing, glorious things about Dr. King, say, oh, we don't like you no more, Dr. King. We're going to separate from you. We're going to talk bad about, they talk so bad and evil of Dr. King. See, this is what Yahushua is talking about. When you stand up, when we stand up, watch who turns their backs on us. Let's take this next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.